got a blessing today. One of our elders, Tyler Simon, is going to be sharing the good word of God. And so let's thank God for Tyler today.
Okay. Good morning. Before I start, I'd just like to say I was standing on this stage 12 years ago today, but I was not the speaker. I spoke two words, I do. So it was, Pastor Ron was up here. I think I was over here. Ashley was right there. So I put a picture. If you want to see 12-year-old me and 12 years ago me, 12 years ago, 12 years ago Tony, 12 years ago Pastor Ron, and the back of my wife's head, it's all right there. The back of her head is still as beautiful today as it was 12 years ago. All right. So I've got a message. It's called Stagnant Waters, and a men's breakfast a long time ago, I kind of spoke same name, but kind of the same idea, and I felt like God was, you know, maybe wanted me to expand on it a little more and maybe share it to the whole group. So I've been thinking about it over time, and I've kind of added things here and there, and that's what I have today, and I just felt like this was timely, and the Lord wanted me to share it. So the message is, stagnant waters, and the lead verse is, whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And that's John 7:38. So God has given us this Holy Spirit. That's this flowing living water that, you know, can pour through us. And, you know, as Christians, we have that river of life as long as we don't dam it up. So thinking on stagnant waters, I kind of came up with kind of some definitions with it. So stagnant water is water that's, you know, has no current or flow. Usually the water does not flow, but remains still for a long time. It shows little or no vitality. Stagnant water, usually there's a blockage, it's sluggish. It's got a quality of nothing really changes for a long time in it. And when I think of stagnant waters, I kind of, as far as like in my realm, at my house, I think of like the lagoon that's in my backyard. So it's a, it's not the best source of water, and its source is not the best source. It's my toilet. I don't go back there very often. A couple weeks ago I did, and it's pretty gross. I lacked doing maintenance, so I put the goats in there. I let them eat some shrubs down. I went in with a chainsaw, cut it all up. Cut up trees and little things that are growing, just to kind of, I think you're supposed to maintain them, I'm not sure, but if you don't, there'll be a forest there. But yeah, the water back there, not the best. It's got duckweed and algae and, you know, creepy, crawly tadpoles, frogs, turtles, all that stuff. I would hate to think what's in it. Like, I would not want to go in there with an open wound. So that's one thing. And then another thing I think of is, I might have a picture of it. There's this place called Eagle Bluffs. It's kind of a little more kind of the murky water thing and the natural. When I was a young kid, I used to go, young adult, I used to go fishing on the Missouri River. And we would always go get our bait at this it's called Eagle Bluffs Wildlife Reserve or Duck Reserve. It's where, like, they've kind of built, I think it's the conservation, they've built these little ponds that they have these valves in them that the whole thing gets fed, I think, by the Missouri River, and they have these valves that open and close and fill these little ponds, and there's carp that live in there. And the water quality is not the best. Like, I don't think, like, native fish can live there very well. I think it doesn't have oxygen. It doesn't get a lot of flow and natural source, I guess. I'm not really sure what the deal is. But anyway, there's these, we would catch carp that would hang out next to the valves, because I think when the water comes in, like, they get some oxygen and, you know, can thrive a little better. So they hang out right there, and we'd throw a throw net in and catch these carp, and we would, you know, use them for bait. So that's like that's kind of what it is. It's like 13 ponds or whatever on 1,100 acres, and it's mostly for, like, ducks and stuff to swim around in and land in and when they migrate. Just that idea of the valves, like, you know, letting stuff in and letting stuff out, like, that's kind of some imagery I kind of wanted to use, you know, with this message with the stagnant water. So to start, there's some natural examples I want to use that apply to stagnation. So in our bodies, naturally, we can have this stagnation process, you know, where we can actually start declining through not moving. I have this example in nature, too, of an animal that that's kind of unique. It kind of reminded me of the squid example, but this is another example of an animal in nature that that does this. There's a thing called a sea squirt. So in the ocean, the sea squirt, like, as a larvae, it starts out, it looks kind of like a tadpole, that thing up there. Yeah, it looks kind of like a tadpole. It has a brain and a little spinal cord and a primitive eye, and it moves around until it finds a place to settle. And when it finds out where it wants to go, and it kind of does like a filter feeding, it finds a spot, lands, and then it starts digesting its own brain, like, because it doesn't need a brain anymore. So, because it stops moving, so the spinal cord disappears, the brain goes away, the eye goes away, and the thing turns into an adult, kind of like that. Looks totally different, but it just sits there and doesn't think, because it doesn't have a brain anymore. So, it just sits there and filter feeds. It kind of relies on stuff moving by it. In a human, I think the same thing can happen with our brains even. So I work at in a nursing home. I work a lot on, like, an Alzheimer's unit with people with dementia. And, you know, all the time I'm kind of looking at research and that on, like, why is this, and are there things to prevent it? And I found a lot of good info on, you know, preventing dementia or delaying it even. And there's a lot of research on moving, like exercising your body, like blood flow, circulation, getting to your brain. The actual physical act of moving, like with your eyes, stimulates your brain. Also, like activities, there are certain activities you can do that help your brain to change and grow connections. It's called neuroplasticity, and it's so things like learning a new language, or reading a book and thinking about it, like where you're going to like push your brain to actually be used. So it seems like, you know, if you're at risk for like a dementia, if you start those things 10, 20 years before it happens, like if you notice you start getting forgetful, like those kind of just little things of like using your brain seems to like almost push that off to, you know, where you don't have to worry about it. So it's just kind of a neat example I was thinking of, like in our body, you know, our brain, you know, if we avoid that kind of autopilot situation where we're not thinking and using it, but if we use it, if you use it, you're going to keep it. If you don't lose it, or if you don't use it, you lose it. Another example, so there's a verse that I thought was neat that kind of goes on with that, with your mind, and it's 1 Peter 1:13. It says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. So, you know, be ready for action. Prepare your minds for action, being sober-minded, and set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So I think we're called to like have minds, you know, that are worked and ready. And there's a lot of benefit to that that we can use in our Christian lives and with others around us. Another example, like with the body, also at the nursing home, I see people that start losing the ability to walk. And I kind of think about it. I think when you get older, you kind of have more aches and pains, and it gets a little easier not to walk as much. You know, you might find yourself like sitting in a chair more. And then if you know you got to go a long distance, then I think a mobility scooter sometimes gets brought up or comes to mind. And it seems like as soon as that mobility scooter or electric wheelchair comes in, the decline starts to really happen. You might tell yourself, I'm just going to use it for long distances. Well, then like the distances get shorter and shorter. And eventually, like you're needing help getting into the chair. And then, you know, you get to a point where, yeah, you're being put in the chair. You're not even pushing yourself in a chair. Someone's pushing you. And there's evidence, too, that some of that can be pushed off just by taking care of yourselves and using your leg muscles. We have, like, two types of muscles in our body. There's fast twitch and slow twitch muscles. Like, the fast twitch muscles are they're used for strength and when you have to do something quick, and we have to work those to keep them. And it's not just walking, it's like strength training. Like you have to like actually be putting these muscles to use. And it seems as people get older, they do less and less of that kind of work, and those muscles start kind of shriveling and going away. It's called sarcopenia, when your muscle cells start to kind of shrivel up, and you know they can't do as much work anymore. And it's going to naturally happen. Like you kind of start losing them after about like I think the age of 40. Like you really have to like be working those in order to keep them. But yeah, if you're not, like over time you'll find it, especially with less and less use, harder and harder to walk and keep your mobility. It's all about like the quality of your life. So it's just that's another good example of, I think, of the, in the natural, the, when you stagnate and sit, you know, when you're not using what you have, you can lose it. You can lose, you can lose it. This verse came to mind from Proverbs. There's actually two verses, Proverbs 26:13 and 14. The sluggard says, there's a lion in the road, there's a lion in the streets. And to me, that's like, don't make excuses because it's hard or you don't want to go and do it, you know? And then the next part of that, as a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard in his bed. So a door is kind of mostly stationary. It has a very limited range of movement, you know, on a hinge. And I just like that proverb because it's like, you know, don't be like that door that just kind of has no movement and be like a sluggard that's laying in his bed rolling back and forth and not getting up and moving. So, you know, these things, the body, the mind, the body, they're important, but they're not eternal, you know. And Paul, you know, even Paul says, you know, he says some bodily exercise, you know, bodily exercise is good, but it's obviously not the most important. So thinking on it, I was thinking on, like, our soul and spirit, you know, that's what we really have to take care of, too. Like, we can become, like, stagnant in soul and spirit. So, thinking on what is the soul and spirit, it's kind of hard to think about. It's the soul, it's kind of like our true essence. Our soul is eternal. It's like a combination of like our emotions, our intelligence. It's kind of like a more true representation of who we are. When we worship God, we experience His love. You know, we're using our soul and spirit. Our soul is what will receive like eternal promises of God. And, you know, as a Christian, our soul can reach that point of being stagnant. We can negatively affect our soul through how we treat like our relationship with God. So there are certain issues. I think issues like, you know, neglecting God's word, disobedience, not acknowledging God's presence, and sinfulness, they're all things that can have like a negative effect if we let them like to continue and linger. So one of my first points here is talking about stopping stagnation in the spirit. And it's to study the scriptures. So I think God's word, it's like the food for our soul. It's our nourishment. And in Deuteronomy 8:3, Jesus quotes this here. He says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." And, you know, God, to the Israelites, you know, He rained down manna from the sky, and, you know, water flowed from rocks in a dry desert, and it preserved the Hebrew people. And I think God's word, it's what preserves us. It's what we need. So there's a few scriptures. So 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. So all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. You know, the scriptures are like a mirror that I think we need to look in every day. It's so you can tell where you're at and where you're at in your life. It's a source to look at that kind of reflects like who you are and how you should be. It reflects who God is, and it kind of helps get you turned when you're off, you know. But if we neglect that, I think we're going to kind of stay, you know, like kind of with what the world is around us, kind of filthy and unkempt, you know, a little messed up. So, you know, when God isn't our source, you know, we start looking at other sources, the horizontal, and the world around us. And I think we just need to make sure we're looking to God and His Word, and that's where we're going to get, you know, what we need to grow and move and not be stagnant. there's a verse that I put here that I liked. So, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So, you know, sources outside of God, you know, they're going to leave us unfulfilled. When we're more influenced by the world rather than by God, you know, we can start to become less confident, less bold, maybe more selfish and more self-centered. Our focus changes to kind of vain things of the world, things that don't last, rather than God and His kingdom. And, you know, growth is difficult in that state because, you know, the source isn't meeting our needs. This next point, depart disobedience, and I was reminded of Jonah. You know, that's like a direct disobedience that happened. So the verse Jonah 1:3, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah was given a task to go and, you know, basically tell the Ninevite people that they needed to change, and there was a judgment coming, but he chose to run, and so there were consequences. He did eventually do what he was told. You know, he repented and did what he was told by God, but kind of had the wrong heart about it. You know, God still made it work out. That story is amazing. Like, he is on a ship, and there's God causes the seas to kind of be rough, and everyone's worried on the ship, and they're praying to their gods, and, you know, and they find him asleep down in the bottom of the boat, and they're like, what are you doing sleeping down here? Pray to your God, you know, get up here. And, you know, he tells them that he's the reason the seas are tumultuous and to throw me in it. And, you know, they pray about it, and they do it, and then they become fearers of the Lord through even his disobedience. It's amazing how God works. But, you know, in like, if we're in disobedience, you know, as a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit. Like, we can't expect the Holy Spirit to like, really bless that and continue to really help us continue in disobedience. Like the Holy Spirit, it's nice, it's there, but it's saying, you know, hey, no, you know, listen to what God's saying. It's there helping us. And, you know, the more we do that, we get kind of like the more we ignore it, you know, we get a scarring and we become more and more deaf to what that Holy Spirit is trying to say. And, you know, the Holy Spirit, it can't go against God's will. And, you know, as a believer, like, when we start trying to follow our own, what we want to do rather than God's, we get more and more deaf to it. And, you know, we get deaf to the reproof, get deaf to the redirection. And it's up to us to turn and change and you know, to go from disobedient to obedient, to start listening to what God told us to do. You know, I've had times in my life where I've ignored what I felt like God told me to do, to speak to somebody, and yeah, it's like God convicts me of it. I've felt it like a physical pain. I remember when I was an early Christian, I felt like God told me to talk to my dad, you know, about Christ, and like, I felt a physical pain when I didn't in this one instance. And God's forgiven me for it, and I've talked to my dad since, but, like, I think the more of those you allow, the more, if you continue to let it allow, you know, you're hurting your soul, you're hurting, you know, your relationship with God. And so, my next point, preferring God's presence. You know, we sang about that. You know, we want God there. So, you know, we need to act, you know, as if God has input in our life and our decisions. And I'm guilty of that. Sometimes I act on my own. I'm not looking to God. And, you know, in the big things and the small things, but, you know, he's there and he cares what I do. Like, coming to him and praying about it first. And I don't always do that. I do feel convicted when I don't, you know, and I think that is harmful as well. You know, pretending like he doesn't exist or doesn't really care, like kind of apathetic. There's this verse that I found, and it's from Zephaniah 1:12, and it says, at that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent. And the NASB version says stagnant in heart. And those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. Like, it is kind of like thinking God doesn't care about your decision, or you just go out and do, the more of that you do, the more you're like trying to do your own thing, the more you're going to look like the world. And we're not called to do that. We're called to be, you know, in the world, but not of the world. We're called to not be swayed by the things of the world. Because they're temporary, they're vain, and it's so crazy how as people we can just let those things just creep in and have control. Proverbs 16:9, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And that's how we need to think about it. You know, we're going to try to plan our way. The Lord will be the one that establishes the steps. And, you know, the more we look to what his will is in our lives, what he wants, I just think the more it'll work out. Like, I've had times where I've tried to do things my own way, and I've shared this before, but I'll share it again as an example. I went to buy this truck one time, and I wanted it. And like, it looked like a really good deal, and it was online on eBay, and I, you know, the good deal's still there. And, you know, a minute before, it was like, don't buy that truck, you don't need it, don't buy it, it's not going to bless you. That's what I felt like God was saying, don't do it, but I did it. And was disobedient, and I, you know, he knew what was best right there. And yeah, it turned out kind of not to be a great deal. Like, I mean, the truck was fine, but, I had to do a lot of work to really get it how I needed it. Like, it didn't have a bed on it already. And the financing for it, like, it didn't work out. It was one, like, I was going to take a loan out for it. And I don't do any of that now. That's just ridiculous. But I was going to take this loan out to buy it. And it was an older truck. It was like a 1999. And it was 1 year away, like from my bank. They said, that's 1 year too old. Can't give you a loan. So then I had to do something foolish. I borrowed money from my 401k. To buy this truck. You know, I borrowed money from a source that probably would grow to buy this depreciating asset. And so stupid, you know? And, and God was there. He's there. He cares about what I do. And, we just gotta listen for that spirit and follow through with it. And yeah, the more you do those kind of things where you're just doing your own thing, I think the less the Holy Spirit speak it into you. So there's this verse, Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. So we should be communicating with our Father through prayer and asking for direction. You know, God cares about our lives, and he seeks to be a blessing to us. You know, even though we think something else might be a blessing, God, he's got blessings there, and I just got to be patient and wait. You know, so to kind of prefer his presence, what would God want for me? You got to think about that, and look to him. So my next point is steer from sin. So, you know, persisting in sin means we are not taking what Jesus Christ has done for us seriously. You know, Jesus Christ, he died. He died for my sin. He died for it. And like, you know, we would be dead in our sins without Jesus Christ. We would be dead. The wages of sin is death. I'm glad I, you know, that's not my wage. I'm glad I don't get that wage. In the book of Romans, you know, Paul makes this argument, and I like this section, Romans 6. He says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin live in it? And I think, you know, continuing in things that are an obvious sin, I'm, you know, as a Christian, I just think that's a way to stagnate, you know, to not grow and not be used. Romans 6, 12 through 14 says, you know, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. So the more we stay in that sin, I think it affects us. I think it affects our soul, our heart. You know, we can feel like we can't come to God. We can lose victory in our lives. You can feel just a sense of shame, and you're unworthy, and you become less bold. You don't want to step out and you know, help God, you know, advance his kingdom and do his will. I just think we have to stay, like, if there is a sin, we need to look at what it is, ask for forgiveness, and look to really change your hearts and change your ways. My next point, it's kind of a little separate point, but I think it's kind of interesting when I was thinking about it. It's we could have an obstructive outflow. So I think sometimes we could be doing a lot of things. We could be coming to the Lord in prayer. We might, you know, not have that sin that keeps pushing on us, you know, the persistent sin. We can want God's presence. But I think sometimes we can, you know, we can be taking in all these good things, but we don't allow the good things to come out. Like, we could have the valve shut, or part of the way shut. You know, maybe there are fruits there, but we could open it more. You know, we could open that valve back up and just, you know, let the Holy Spirit be pouring through us. You know, because God, he's an unlimited source. I mean, he could just push all, you know, you could, he can push so much through you and cause such, you know, such great works and, you know, great things for his kingdom. And so I was thinking of that, you know, so sometimes that could be an area where, you know, we might feel like a little stagnant, like, you know, things aren't, you know, quite where I think they should be. And, you know, maybe you've got a gift God's given you and you could be using it a little more, you know, to the fullest of his ability. It might be that you need to, like, look around you and look at where, like, you might benefit an area like in the church or at your work or in the community. And I was thinking of something. Kevin Hamilton said this at a men's breakfast. He says this phrase, you know, sometimes when you're asked to do something, you'll say, well, I'll pray about that, you know, like I'll pray about it. And I think I've been guilty of that. Like I'll pray about it. But I think that can be something where it's like, where really your default thing is, no, I don't really want to, you know, no. But I would just challenge, you know, maybe, just look at that. If that's there, that I don't really want to. I mean, yeah, maybe you're totally not right for that thing, but like, you know, we need, like, the more hands there are to harvest, the easier it is. And I was just thinking of, like, areas like here, you know, there's need, and like in this church body, you know, like, there's workers that are needed for certain ministries. I think like the nursery, and all of these areas could use like extra people. But like the nursery or children's church, God Squad, the security team, you know, greeters, men's and women's ministry. If you find that, you know, like you feel like maybe you've shut off some flow, like. These are areas where maybe you could step in and, you know, like let God really pour into you and then you pour out. I just want to share, like, with children's church, and I didn't realize that. I was talking to my wife the other day, and like, I think we were doing that before we were married, like, for I think it's been 12 years. It doesn't even seem like it's been that long. And like, you know, that's, I think it's been a blessing to me, like children's church. You know, I had to prepare like lessons and teachings, and you know, you get in there and those kids ask really good questions. Like, it's like, it's just surprising. Like, how did you come up with that? That's good. And you know, it made me think. And I think it causes me to grow, like, because I have to think about it. And it ends up becoming a blessing for me. You know, even getting up here and speaking, like, I have to, like, reflect on my life, and I have to read God's word, and, like, I don't always really like it, you know, because I'm a little nervous, and, you know, how will things go, because I worry about, you know, how things will go. But, you know, like, I think it blesses me probably more than most people out here. Like, it probably blesses me the most. So I just think, you know, this could be another area where maybe, you know, if you're feeling a little stagnant, like, man, there's opportunity. So there's a verse, in all things, I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I find that true. You know, I was thinking of, you know, we had stagnant water, and I was thinking of like imagery of, you know, the water of life. And in the natural, like, you know, I went to Tennessee, and I don't have a picture of it. I had a video that I recorded of just this mountain spring, you know, flowing down. And it's, you know, the water looks so clear and it's beautiful. And, you know, it looks much better to drink than the lagoon water. And, you know, like, I was looking at the water in the natural, and like water that comes from, you know, from mountain peaks, I found that it's actually healthier to drink than water that's at like a lower altitude, I guess, or closer to sea level. And there's been the study I was reading. It was on something called deuterium that's naturally in water. So like you have hydrogen, you know, water is H2O, so It's composed of hydrogen atoms. Well, a hydrogen atom has three different forms. It's like there's hydrogen with no neutron, hydrogen with two neutrons, hydrogen with three neutrons. Well, this hydrogen with two neutrons, deuterium, is found to be like in water and is not as healthy. Like as a human in your body, you have to like process it out. Your body is like intricate. I mean, it works on molecular levels, you know, in the cell. Like, you know, I mean, God designed it amazing. But there's this deuterium that can be of like a higher concentration the lower you go. And I think it has to do with the mass of the hydrogen is heavier. So with gravity, it tends to like be at a lower, like towards sea level. And, you know, I just think it's neat thinking of like, you know, this water that comes from the mountain. And it just reminded me of like the Garden of Eden. It was watered with, you know, this river that flowed, you know, flowed through Eden, and then it ran down and it turned into four rivers down below. And it's like, you know, that crisp, clean water, you know, Adam and Eve were drinking. And, you know, they had these long lives. And, who knows, you know, if that had anything to do with it. But the water probably was a lot cleaner than it is now. I mean, the water now, terrible, you know. Plastics and pesticides and, you know, what we're drinking now, you know, we're thinking we're doing these things for progress. We're, you know, it's more like a regress or... but anyway, I was thinking of that, you know. And I just love the imagery in Revelation, Revelation 22. It's like it's kind of like a restoration of that Garden of Eden. It's where we'll be, you know, in heaven. You know, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, brightest crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and in his name will be, and his name will be on their foreheads, and the night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And I just think, man, I want that, you know, that I just want to drink from that river, you know. And then we have that opportunity. The Holy Spirit's in us. We can just let that river flow right on through us. So I ended here with, you know, what can I do? Just some things, you know, believe on Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. Believe on Jesus Christ. It has to start with that. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have that flowing river that can flow from you. You know, the practical, choose to keep God's commandments and lead a disciplined life. And when you sin, confess your sin immediately, repent of it, change your mind, change your heart, change your behaviors to conform to God's. You know, and accept that he forgives you. I like this verse, Psalm 139, 23 through 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. And then, so another point, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and help you on a daily basis. Acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is present and with you. There's this verse, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And then, you know, seek to spread the gospel, encourage others and seek to bless those around you. And there's this verse in Hebrews, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And yeah, this is just what I have, this message. So thank you.
That's wonderful. There's a verse, I think it's Psalm 46. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That was like a stream. You know, we do a lot of streaming anymore, but that's a stream that actually has that nice, healthy water. That was awesome. Let's stand. We want to respond. We don't want to be those who are hearers that walk away and forget what we heard. We want to respond. And so if we could close our eyes for a moment. If you're here today and you've got a major obstruction, you don't even have access to the river that is God, true life-giving water, Jesus Christ, I've got very good news for you. You don't have to do the impossible. You don't have to try to be perfect or measure up. Jesus already did that for you. And if you in your heart will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, the punishment he took for our sins, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved and forgiven. Just between you and I, to start the streaming from above. If you want me to remember you in prayer today, I'd be glad to pray for you after the service. Just raise your hand so I can remember you in prayer today. God loves you, friend. He's gone to great lengths. Yes, I see your hand. He's gone to great lengths in order to bring people to himself. He doesn't force people. That's what the devil does. He's all about force. God's into voluntary. Come unto me, all you who are bound up, burdened. I will give you rest. Anybody else I could pray for today? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I see your hand. Very important to God, and I want to pray for you for sure. Anybody else today? Yes, I see that hand. Father, these are our precious ones. They're crying out, Lord, from their hearts. They're crying out after Jesus. Save their souls this day, O Lord God. Let that river of life come from you. May they be baptized in the Holy Spirit. May they be sons and daughters of you, O God. Thank you, God, for drawing them into yourself this day. Brothers and sisters, I want to pray for you today and two things, you know, just perfect imagery. God made things in such a way as to communicate great truths. The inflow and the outflow. If there's any impediment in your heart, unbelief, unforgiveness, sin, or indifference, busyness, you got an impediment to the inflow of God. You got competition, and it's kind of a barrier to what God wants to do. Now I want to pray for you that impediment or those impediments will be exposed, and you'll allow God to go through with that Roto-Rooter. Just break through that so that he can flow. Perhaps you remember a time in your life where there was that inflow and, you know, what's happened. And then the outflow. Are you allowing God to use you? Are you open to that? Because the Spirit, it's voluntary. He'll come to you and he'll show you things, but if you keep ignoring him and say, okay, you know, I'm not gonna sit here and push you. I'll find a vessel. But why not you? Why not have that inflow and that outflow going as well? And so if you just want prayer today on either of those or both, just come on down here to the front and we'll pray together. I'll pray a prayer over you. I need the prayer as much as anybody else. A lot of things in this life, personally and the world, can throw your way and just kind of set up a blockage. Or Lord, help flow through me. There's a song that some of you might recall in times past. I got a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Who remembers that song? That river of life is the Holy Spirit. And so to let it flow out from us. And it's not like you were losing something, because as it flows out, God's water keeps coming, and that's life. Father, I just set my heart, my mind in agreement with the truth that we've heard today. Lord, I submit myself to that. And Lord, as we've come here today, I just feel a humility that we're being real. That, Lord, there might be some resistance and some obstruction to the inflow, what you want to do, and what you want to provide for us. And so forgive us. Just break down, Lord, and help us to surrender and yield some of those things which are impediments. And, Lord, also help us to find ways to, I mean, the harvest is great. As you said, the laborers are few. Lord, let us not be making excuses as to why we can't serve you while it's called today. Help us, Lord God, and provide those opportunities so that your love can flow through us. Your spirit, your energy, your truth can flow from us, Lord, in specific ways, oh God. Let us be those who bring profit to your kingdom so that when we stand before you, we can hear, well done, good and faithful servant. A profitable servant, somebody that had the outflow. And we just, today, we submit ourselves. We thank you, Lord God, for this time of refreshing, this time of reproof. It's all good because you care for us. And we just dedicate ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Blessings upon you.